The reading is from Mark chapter 10, verses 13 to 16, and that's on page 1014, 1014 of the Bibles. So Mark 10, 13 to 16. People were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly, I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them. This is God's word.
Evening again. Yeah, please do keep that passage open as we look at it now. I'm going to pray for us as we begin. Let's pray. Hear the call of the kingdom. Father, we thank you that you do have arms open wide, inviting people into your kingdom. And so we do pray that all of us here this evening will hear that call. Some of us will have heard that call. And you have welcomed us, and we thank you for that. I pray for those of us who are still thinking as well as we look at this passage now. And just help us as we think about some of the things that it teaches on, about children, about how we should think about ourselves as well. And we just pray that we would honour you and look to you and seek you as we hear your word and try to live it out, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I wonder, how do we view the children and young people in our church? How do we see them? How do we see them as a vital core of the household of faith, or do we just about tolerate them? Are we at all interested in their lives, the things they're facing every day? But especially how they're growing spiritually. Many of us here are helping our youth and children's groups, which is wonderful, it really is. And serving this way shows that you care for them and you value them. But value must be measured by more than just what groups we run every week or other special activities we put on throughout the year. Because it's about investing in their lives collectively as a church family. Having a right attitude towards them and knowing that we have a biblical responsibility to support our parents and help bring up the children in the Lord. We certainly shouldn't be doing or saying anything that hinders them coming to Jesus. Christ himself says in our passage, "Let the little children come to me." Now, in that context, Jesus is probably speaking of children who are sort of primary school age and younger. But we can certainly apply this to our teenagers too, in our context, I'm sure, as well. And so Jesus wants the young, the youth, to come. He wants to welcome them into his kingdom and embrace them. Now, the verses we're looking at this evening are here, I think, for two main reasons. First, it follows Jesus' teaching on divorce and remarriage. So it's an appropriate place for something that concerns children to follow on. It's sort of a family sort of connection. And we know that those most affected by divorce are usually children, so it's good there's teaching that encourages our children in the Lord. The second reason these verses are here is because they fit Mark's theme of spiritual blindness. Now, our theme for this sort of series in Mark, these sort of middle chapters of Mark, is about the real Jesus. And we come to chapter 10, which is a sort of new setting and a new teaching situation. We see spiritual blindness with the Pharisees, and then with the disciples in our passage, and then we'll see it with the rich young man. We'll see him next week. See, none of these people seem to grasp who Jesus truly is. The real Jesus. Jesus is the King of God's kingdom. But those around him struggle to see who belongs to the kingdom and how you enter it. And Jesus, again, with his arms stretched out wide, says he will receive all who come like a child. That includes our children and young people. He wants to embrace them. He wants to embrace us. And so that's what we're going to be thinking about this evening. We're going to take a further look at this with 2 points. The first is this. Don't hinder children from the kingdom because Jesus wants to embrace them. Don't hinder children from the kingdom because Jesus wants to embrace them. Let's read verse 13. People were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them, but the disciples rebuked them. Now, as we hear these words, we might have in mind sort of mums taking their children on a day out to see the famous man called Jesus. An exciting activity to go on your day off or it's half term. But from the way the passage is written, the truth is actually a bit different. The sentence is phrased in a way that shows it was probably actually the fathers who were bringing the children to Jesus. Because in this culture, fathers had the responsibility of taking their children to a rabbi to be blessed and dedicated to God. And that seems to be what's going on here. The word for bringing here means bringing a sacrifice as a way of dedicating oneself or that sacrifice to God. So this was an important spiritual activity going on here. You know, it wasn't parents taking their kids on a day out to have some fun with this famous man called Jesus. You know, in the same way as someone takes their children to see Father Christmas so they can sit on their lap and ask for what they want for Christmas. No, not at all. It was parents bringing their children to Jesus so that they could be blessed and dedicated to a life of discipleship and fellowship with God. But cue the disciples who step in. They step in the way like a celebrity's bodyguard. The F1 season is back on, if you're interested in that at all. But a particular highlight is the sort of pre-race grid walk where Martin Brundle, he's a former racer, now sort of pundit, goes up and down the paddock to talk to drivers and other sort of famous guests. And every so often there's a sort of very awkward moment where he tries to speak to one of the sort of big name celebrities. And as he approaches them and asks for a comment, the sort of bodyguard bars the way and shuts him down. Well, that's kind of what the disciples are doing to these parents. They bar the way and rebuke them. We don't get a reason for their rebuke, but judging how children were viewed in that society, the disciples probably felt that they weren't allowed to come to Jesus. He was way too important for these little children. Now, of course, clearly the disciples have blundered again, and we see that by Jesus' reaction. Verse 14, when Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He was indignant. Angry. But Jesus' indignation, it is an anger that stems from love. Because when you love something, and you find that it's attacked, righteous anger should flare up to protect it. Jesus clearly loved his disciples and had suffered many of their failings with great patience. This clearly showed how deeply he felt about this matter. And he never says, like, no, that's enough. I can't take it anymore. I'm done with you lot. No, this is it's his own loving rebuke to bring them onside, to bring them back. For the real Jesus loves children and young people. And there's no way that we would wish, there's no way that he would wish to be denied the opportunity to embrace them in the arms, in his arms, and lovingly bless them. And really, the disciples, they should have learnt from that previous episode that we saw back in chapter 9. You see, they had seen such warmth and gentleness when Jesus placed that child in the center of that room among them. And then he took him up into his loving arms. That should have been the lesson there. That was the lesson on the value of children who believed in him. Now they face the lesson of sort of indignation at their attitude. Why would you not allow this? Jesus says, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." See, don't hinder children from the kingdom, because Jesus wants to embrace them. And so clearly Jesus wants children to be part of this faithful community, to be part of a local church growing up in the teachings and worship of the Lord. And his words are as much a lesson for us as they are for the disciples. So how might we hinder our children and young people, perhaps particularly children, from Jesus' love and embrace? Well, let me say again that I think we do an excellent job with our children's and youth group ministry. The staff, leaders work very hard to prepare engaging sessions that faithfully teach God's word. We provide many opportunities from our Sunday group, sessions and groups and midweek groups. And of course, that is to be commended and to be given thanks to the Lord for. But teaching our children is more than our programs. It's about having the right attitude and thinking about them, and using the right language, actually, to speak to them. And so for those of us who are leading up the front, we should speak in a way that welcomes them so that they feel part of our church family. But we also need to be careful with our words when we actually invite them to leave for their groups, because we're not getting rid of them. We don't, nor do we sort of separate in two. They're still doing church. And we don't want to be thinking out of sight, out of mind, or great, finally they're gone, now church can really begin. Also, in our thinking, we shouldn't sort of actually undervalue simple faith as real faith. Nor should we underestimate underestimate expectations or what they can comprehend. So we don't need to set the bar so low, perhaps. Or what about our thoughts on our bite size or all-age services? Because it's easy to think, oh, well, they're just for children. So we don't need to engage, or we don't need to come along, we don't need to support, we don't need to come and worship. But the language we use for them is to show, and why we do them is to show that we're actually all learning together as a church family, growing together in the gospel. And think also about our one anothering. This seems to be coming up time and time again since we started this. But our one anothering series in our small and open groups, or this morning, with our core value to love one another. That can mean bearing with the noise and the distractions that children can make. But in turn, we need to make sure that we're not saying unhelpful things to parents. We don't know what they're going through, how much sleep they've had, things like that. We want to be those who are helpers and not hinderers. Instead, we should be getting alongside both our parents and children. And certainly with our kids, especially our young people, we want to be interested in what they're doing, what they're up to. We'll take the opportunity to talk to them. Make a beeline to go for them on a morning or an evening to talk to them. Yeah, find out what they're learning. Find out what they're doing. Get alongside families as well. Be praying for them, preparing with them. Make them feel part of the church family because they should feel welcome. And they should know that God loves them. But theirs is the kingdom. So don't hinder children from that truth. Help them. Let the little children come. Let all children come. Let the young people come. Let them know that Jesus wants to embrace them. So don't hinder children from the kingdom because Jesus wants to embrace them. That's the first thing to think about. And then we move on to the second, which is this. It says, be like a child when receiving the kingdom because Jesus wants to embrace you. Let's read verses 15 and 16. Truly, I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them. Now, we would misuse this text if it was just all about children. The story is ultimately about who can enter the kingdom of God. But the kingdom of God belongs to a certain kind of person. You see, only those who receive the kingdom like a child can enter it. There was an advert for Vicks. I don't know if you're going to remember this. I thought it was only a few years ago, and I looked on YouTube, and actually it's 2006. Some of us might not even be alive here, so I don't know. But it's a really funny, some of us might remember it, it's a very funny advert. It involves a mum and her son in a supermarket, and basically the son takes some snacks from the shelves and looks at his mum, and, you know, sort of signals to say, I want these. And she gives him a very disapproving look. So he chucks the snacks on the floor and starts screaming. But before he can get into sort of the swing of things, his mum then starts screaming at him and does this massive sort of mock tantrum on the floor, banging her hands and feet, and much to the shock of the and surprise of the shoppers. Now, this is not what Jesus had in mind here in verse 15. Because that's being childish, not childlike. To be childlike means coming to Jesus with nothing and depending on him. Now, it's interesting that each of the synoptic gospels, that's Matthew, Mark, and Luke, have these verses right before the story of the rich young man. And it seems to be that the sort of quintessential example of someone who cannot enter the kingdom is this man because he refuses to be childlike. Now, some have interpreted Jesus' words that to be childlike means being humble and innocent. But spend enough time with children and you know that they're anything but that. There is, of course, a sort of sweet naivety about a child's sort of ignorance, maybe. But we shouldn't mistake that sort of that ignorance for innocence, because they're no less immune to sin as we are, and actually probably show it more than we do. We might even be a little bit more reserved at times. But being childlike means receiving and not feeling obliged to earn everything we get. Because children are in a place where often all they can do is receive. They don't refuse gifts out of a sort of self-sufficient pride like we do as adults. You know, you give somebody a gift, they always say, oh, you shouldn't have, don't you? That kind of thing. You know, but does a child say that? I don't think so. Well, here are two illustrations that highlight what it means to be childlike. You know, think of a young boy who kind of falls over in the park, grazes his knees and hands. What does he do? Well, he probably cries, but he can't help himself, can he? What does he know what to do? With tears in his eyes and sore, muddy hands, he goes to his mum, his mummy, because he needs her. And she comforts him, cleans him up, consoles him, and cuddles him. Having four nephews, I'm well aware of what that's like. I've seen it many a time. Or I'll think about a little girl who wants her daddy to come home from work. What does she do? Well, perhaps she looks out the window. She waits in the hall. She gets a bit impatient. She lets out a bit of a whimper. But when he finally arrives, tired and weary, she runs towards him with arms open wide in utter dependence, saying, "Daddy, Daddy." See, he doesn't hold her back waiting for to be given something. No, he immediately scoops her up into his loving embrace. And yeah, Jesus, well, he wants to do the same for us. We have that wonderfully warm moment at the end of the story when he hugs the children, not just child, but children, it's more than one, and places his hands on their heads and blesses each one. Isn't that wonderful? Just a wonderful picture of what Jesus is like to our young people and children, but also to us. Because he wants to embrace each one of us. He wants to bring us into his kingdom. But to do that, we must receive his kingdom like a little child. And that means we've got to let everything go. Because actually, everything is just dead weight and baggage. All our sort of religious and secular efforts, all our accolades, all our achievements, all that we have acquired, all that we have accumulated, well, what are they to God? To the one true sovereign creator, he needs none of these things. You know, they are not a measure so great or a value so precious that God must let us enter his kingdom. You know, we are not as great as we think we might be. And perhaps hardest of all then is to let go of our pride. That stubborn and arrogant self, that self-sufficiency. We need to come humbly. Humbly to the Lord. Now, it might feel a bit demeaning to let go of that pride. But Jesus is not asking us to do more than what he has already done himself. And we could never have done what he has done for us. He humbly gave his life as a ransom for many. And think also to what he's already said about what we must do to be his disciples. We have to follow him down the path of suffering and death to take up our cross. And so following Jesus as a disciple means being sacrificial. It also means being humble, like a child, completely dependent on our Lord. Not trusting in what we've done and what we've achieved, but in what Christ has done for us. These are the marks of following Jesus. Now, some of us here will have already accepted Jesus like a child, but I guess we might have a sort of urge to kind of pick back up that dead weight and baggage we dropped. We think we kind of need it to be that sort of independent, self-sufficient adult. Perhaps we hear too much the way the world speaks. That's very much how they view things. But please don't be tempted. Depend on Jesus. Trust in what he has already done for you, because he is sufficient. And then perhaps some of us are at the gates of the kingdom, but we can't go in because we can't let go. Well, please see that all you have and all you've done counts for nothing. And Jesus' words are a warning to those who won't let go, that you will not enter his kingdom. It will be access denied. But those who put their trust in him and who are like a child, well, Jesus is ready to embrace you. He's ready to embrace you. So let me encourage you to let go of your pride and enter. Let me pray. Our Father God, we do pray, firstly, that you would help us be those who are helpers and not hinderers to our children and young people. Help us to do that as a church family together. As some of us teach, as our parents teach, as our youth leaders and children's leaders teach, but also as we support them and those who do that. May we invest in their lives, we pray. But from that, may we look to them as that example for us to think about how we should come to you to receive your kingdom, that we come like a child. Humble us, we pray. Help us to drop that baggage, to drop that dead weight of our achievements, because they don't do anything for us. Help us to trust in the cross and in Jesus, in what he's done for us, we pray. And we ask this in his name and for your glory. Amen.